This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 324 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from shuddersincpodcast.com, and joining me via Skype from Melbourne once again from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
Me?
Yes, you.
I'm fabulous.
Excellent. All packed?
No.
You're like me. I thought I'd pack on the day you leave.
No, I'm packing next Thursday.
Oh, okay.
The only problem is I'm leaving next Wednesday.
Right. Okay, then. Oh, dear.
I've started some conceptual packing, let's put it that way.
Okay, what's conceptual packing?
Well, I'm thinking about I'm visualising it.
Right.
I've been testing these because I've got so much stuff to carry gear-wise that I'm trying to find ways of packing clothing to the smallest possible amount of space.
Okay.
But at the same time, still carry enough stuff for like 24 days.
Yeah.
And not so much like it's going to be like, oh, you've got to have something for every day, but because, you know, you're going to be able to wash it. Thing, but because it's so hot over there at the moment, you know, you're going to probably go through two sets of clothes a day.
Yeah, right.
So, okay, yeah, okay. You normally say, okay, I'm going 24 days, I can get away with, you know, maybe 10 sets of clothing.
Yeah.
It gives me enough sort of leeway to get some wash somewhere on the line. Well, it's kind of got to be double that.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Some of the days it's going to be 40 degrees and you're walking for who knows how long.
Yeah, and 90% humidity.
Well, actually, it's only about 65.
So okay.
Yeah, it's bad, but it's not horrendous.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, you're going through a fair amount of gear. So I've been watching all these YouTube videos and how to fold stuff.
Like, oh, nice.
I'm a sock folding expert. Yeah. So I can fit 12 pairs of socks folded into the size of a little storage cube about the size of a paperback.
Right. Wow. Now,
I've got 10 T-shirts down into the size of a largish book.
Right.
So I'm getting there.
Sounds rather efficient.
It is. It's kind of almost therapeutic too. You're a little bit like doing origami.
Yeah. Right.
Get a fold, hold your tongue out one corner of your mouth, and don't breathe on every third fold, all that kind of stuff. And it's coming together.
That's going to be a mongrel when you've got to repack every night to move on to the
next. That's the whole point. So the whole point of storage cubes is you can bring pair things down to like, in this one little pack, there's like a couple of pairs of socks, a couple of pairs of jocks, a couple of shirts and a couple of shorts.
Right.
So that one little pack is all they need to open for 2 or 3 days.
Oh, okay.
The suitcase stays all zipped up.
So these storage cubes that you talk about, is that a product or is it just a style of packing?
It's just a style of thing. So basically it's just little zippable soft containers.
Okay.
And so you can put into each one, X amount of stuff.
Yeah, nice.
Then the rest of your suitcase stays, basically everything in these little
containers. Right.
So when you get to a hotel, you've just got to pull out this one little sort of 6-inch by 8-inch little pack.
Nice.
It's got enough stuff for maybe 2 days.
Yep.
And nothing else needs to be disturbed.
Ah, tricky.
Then you have like a dirty bag.
Yep.
That you fold up and put the dirty stuff into, and that goes to your washing when you get a chance to wash.
Yeah, right. Cool.
So,
into the Ganges.
Needs to be cleansed one way or another. Yeah. With a fecal content 800% higher than allowed by the health department.
Ugh.
Not a place to be.
Yuck.
So it's a pretty neat way of traveling.
Yeah, right.
I was keeping stuff accessible. But just takes a little bit of preparation. So you do like a faux pack, see how it looks, and then maybe you try a second way in a different way. And I mean, I found a way to. I'm on my third different way of
folding
t-shirts.
That's way too much effort for you, mate.
I'm on my third different way of folding t-shirts. I think I finally got the one.
Right.
But it's simple because, I mean, we sent out emails today. Yeah, so the group's all sent out emails telling you a little bit of introduction to everybody because people don't know each other.
Right.
And a little list of, what are you taking kind of stuff. And so where's my one? It's that's easier to sit in there. So this is what I wrote. Not that the box matters too much, but I'm taking a Canon 5D3 and a 6D, a Sony action cam. I'm sponsored by Tamron, so I'm taking the following: a 15 to 30, a 35, a 24 to 70, a 70 to 200, and the new 85 1.8 VC if they can get it to me in time. Wow. Lighting gear: I'm taking an Elenchrom Quadra Ranger with high speed head and 3 flash triggers. a 70-centimeter deep octobox.
Oh, jeez.
A light pole to hold up said light and stuff.
Yeah.
Godox flash for Canon and two triggers. Godox flash speed light for Nikon and two triggers. A tripod, a gorilla pod. And then, of course, then it goes into storage as far as how you can store images. And stuff.
Yeah.
So you put all this stuff out there, you go, and you know, you better pack well.
Yeah.
And all this into one little duffel bag.
Yeah, wow.
A camera bag into a backpack and a duffel bag for everything else.
Yeah, right.
See, yeah.
Jeez.
You want to make sure that you're really, really on the ball.
So presumably Malcolm is not taking the same quantity of lighting gear and whatnot.
He's taking some flash guns. He's taking two 900 globe LED light panels.
Right.
Video. So we've got floor pack flash.
Yeah.
Normal flash, natural light. Now we've got LED covered as well because you've got to kind of have a gamut. Yeah. If we could only find a good batter up in a tungsten light, we'd be set. Maybe a fluoro. We could test out all the different white balances.
Do the light panel, the LED panels don't have adjustable white balance?
Oh, they do, yeah.
Yeah, right.
But so, I mean, it's not much fun to say that, though.
No.
nerdy, boring versus, oh, what a dickhead, you know. Right. So he's taken two 900 globe LED panels and at least one or two flash guns.
Yeah, right. How many paying customers are going?
12.
Oh, geez, okay. Yeah, right. So you are going to need a fair bit of gear.
Yeah, a fair bit of gear.
And, wow.
So that's a lot of stuff to carry, you know?
Yeah.
So he said your clothing is going to take up absolute minimal possible amount of space.
Yeah.
I mean, just the bags, just the containers alone for cables and chargers.
Yeah.
You think about all the different stuff you're charging and cabling. Yeah. I've got two storage packs, special cable packs and the whole hard drives and routers and USB keys and battery chargers. And so I've got two of those alone.
Yeah, right.
Plus another pack for the power board, which is multi USB ports and normal power points.
Yeah,
and so I've got this one. It's a travel kit. So the actual plug that goes into the wall is adjustable for different countries.
Oh, nice!
And then the power board has two USBs, and so I think it might be four USBs, two or four USBs, and two or three normal power points all in the one. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, nice.
So that's another bag.
Wow. Well,
it goes on and on and on. Yeah, so it's simply just your ability to maintain your cables.
And tablet/laptop, I assume you're just taking the iPad Pro?
No, I Microsoft Surface.
Ah, right, of course.
Yeah, because it runs Lightroom and Photoshop. So this week I've got a new sponsor on board.
Oh, okay.
The lovely folk at Lexar.
Nice.
Sponsors. So I'm taking along, I think, three of their 512 gig SSD drives.
Oh, nice.
So that's 1.5 terabytes of storage, plus their workflow box. Basically, it's a hub which can put in two or three of these SSD drives and a couple of card readers all plug into the same thing, and it can transfer straight from the card reader straight onto the SSD drive, no computer required.
Nice.
So if I've been running my Sony Action Cam, I can be downloading three micro SD cards at the same time.
Wow.
I can be downloading an SD card and a compact flash card all at the same time.
Wow.
Drives.
That's pretty cool.
Which is all pretty darn good. And all at USB 3 speed, so it's reasonable transfer speed.
Yeah, right.
So that's kind of part of my
set
work.
Set it all, copying last thing before you flop into bed, and when you wake up, it's done.
Yeah, and if you go back to the hotel for lunch or whatever, you pop up and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, so my workflow is effectively, as I said in the past, it's dumping to these SSD drives, but also I take a bunch of USB keys,
yep,
128 gig USB keys, dump my favorite images from each day onto those keys as well, and those keys are always with me.
Yep.
Then what? Between how internet is, I'll be uploading whatever I can to the cloud.
Yep.
So you've got, in theory, reasonable. So depending on how I go storage wise, I may even use the SSD drives as a duplicate.
Right.
So one of those to duplicate the other one, and
Given that you shoot JPEG, you should be able to get away with that.
Well, I'm going RAW.
Oh, you are shooting RAW. Okay.
And JPEG.
Oh, both.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
I picked up a new slash second hand 5D Mark III this week, just simply to be able to write to Compact Flash and SD card at the same time.
Right.
It's another redundancy.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, just trying to prevent those 800 images that got ballsed up on my last trip to Vietnam. And Malcolm, to my offside on the trip, he had a card fail when he got back from overseas and possibly lost 1,200 images.
From which trip?
He's just come back a couple of weeks ago from Myanmar.
Oh, right. So not from the Vietnam trip.
Myanmar and Cambodia, but his card failed. So it's not... Wow. So the hardware failed, not the actual memory chips inside. Yeah. Yeah. You know. So once the card itself fails, you're kind of stuffed.
You're toast, yeah.
But the fortunate thing is he trusted his memories to Lexar.
Right.
Lovely. And so with Lexar professional cards, everything can fail. There's no foolproof system out.
For sure.
So if a card fails, a pro card, they send it back to America where the card's pulled apart and they pull the memory chips out.
Wow.
Try and get the data back that way so they can access the memory chips.
Yeah, right.
So at least, and that's a free service. So nice. That's a nice little peace of mind for important images should the unthinkable happen.
So does that mean conceivably he may get those 1,200 images back? Exactly.
Yeah,
nice.
It takes about two or three months because of delays. And
yeah, sure. Oh, well, keep us in the loop on that. It'd be nice to hear that he gets those back.
So once again, that redundancy to be able to shoot to two cards at the same time.
Yeah.
So if your JPEG card fails, you've still got the RAW files. If your RAW card fails, you've still got the JPEGs.
Yeah.
You sort of, it just makes sense. Yeah. So I've had a busy week. I had on Saturday, I did the a sampler day for the Bellarine Camera Club.
Right.
And we had 2.5 times as many people as I'd normally have at a workshop.
Oh, wow.
They have a whole stack of people just sit down, just me do a presentation on the different types of stuff I do, then do some demonstration shoots.
Right.
So, always trying to give too much because it's my nature. It's my nature. Mm-hmm. Always trying to give too much. I figured, well, let's get people to bring the cameras along.
Yep.
And I'll try and get, if we do, say, 4 or 5 setups, we'll get 4 or 5 people to shoot at each set. So if we've got, like, 20, 25 people, we can have a small group do at least one shot of it, one setup, and then the next group does the next setup. Everyone gets at least one setup shot for coming along.
Yeah.
It would have worked.
65 people turned up.
It worked until, you always forget that guy in the camera club doesn't listen.
Yeah.
And just keeps on shooting and shooting. And everything you've talked about for 2 hours in the presentation about the importance of standing in this exact spot.
Yeah.
Not this spot, not that spot. And just shooting like crazy to the point. And they were going, they're all just shooting. There's no, I stopped them and I told them and told them. I ended up forcing them to all sit back down and lay the law down. First time in 1,000 workshops, I didn't lose my cool because I don't do that custom. But I got a little slightly terse. And basically said, "What are you doing?" What I said. I'm pointing it out. We're inside this room, and I've got this backdrop set up. It's black, just a little folding black backdrop, and this very, very, very delicate sculpted bit of light that only works from one spot. That's my kind of thing.
Yeah,
I work within a millimeter or centimeter of where it works, and that's it. And you've got to be in that spot.
Yeah,
and they're shooting from everywhere. So I'm saying, "What are you bloody doing? You're taking this photo. You've got these plastic chairs in the background. Well, what the hell are you going to do with that photo?
Yeah.
Where are you going to put it? What's it going to be for? Is it going to go on Facebook? Oh, look at the great photo of a plastic chair I took behind this person's head. What about this crappy bit of art on the wall behind her head? What are you going to do with the photo? You're going to Photoshop that out of the 500 photos you just took? What the hell do you think you're thinking of? You know? It's just like you're here to learn, people.
Yeah.
You know? Listen to what's being taught,
yep.
Try and emulate it so you understand it, and be happy with a couple of shots.
Yeah.
And, of course, there was one main offender, as there always is, and it was a bloke, and he was always in the way. And then he had the audacity to send me this email explaining how good he is and how he's won all these awards.
Right.
And how he's been asked to submit to image stock libraries.
Uh-huh.
And how he wants to go to a workshop so he can increase his skills so he can compete more internationally. And he's got 50 photos of a plastic chair coming out of someone's head.
Yeah, nice.
Thinking about the lesson and learning, it's like, look, and I said to them all, well, I love your passion.
Yeah.
I love the fact that you're just, but why? just don't get it, you know? What the hell? They're going to get home with 200 images that are no good for anything.
Yeah.
How does that make them feel good about themselves?
Mm.
How does it make them feel good about the day they've just had?
Yeah.
You know, oh, gee, we had a great day of learning. Look at all the, oh, you know. Yeah, and as I always say to everyone, is that, and the biggest problem with doing this is you'd lose, yeah, even if you took the shot, that was the shot we're trying to achieve, the lesson we're trying to learn, it's embedded in all these other hundreds of shots, so you don't know which one it was.
Yeah.
So you lose it. You lose that lesson anyway, and then you wonder why you can't replicate stuff at home.
Yep.
I said, boy, if you take the plastic chairs, you might be able to. anyway, that was my so a little bit of a rant, you know, not lightly, but a little bit of not in front of customers. I don't normally. This is just me and you chatting, so it's okay, but in front of customers. Yeah. But as I said, I picked up a new body, a new slash second-hand body.
So you found a non-dodgy seller?
Well, this is the thing. So it was curious, and here's the thing. So I found, not only did I find a non-dodgy seller.
Yeah.
But he was so happy to find me as a non-dodgy buyer.
Yeah, right. And he had a few false nibbles, had he?
Pestering him and just asking unrealistic stuff and ridiculous asking pricing on ridiculous prices and all this other sort of stuff. And just, and yeah, I understand that they want to know serial numbers. They want to know all this information about the camera.
Yeah.
Which, once again, I guess if you've been burnt a few times, you can kind of understand.
Yeah.
But it says, but they're emailing constantly, the same people just email over and over and over with questions.
Yeah.
And he goes, and then said, then I show up. Well, I email. Is it available? Because he was selling us as a kit.
Right.
Camera with two lenses. And his advertisement was he bought it to take photos of his kid playing football last September, and now football finishes in September.
Right.
Football finished. Kid doesn't want to play football anymore.
Oh.
so he's bought, like, top-of-the-range amateur, you know, slash semi-pro Canon camera,
yeah,
100 to 400 and 8 to 15 mil uber fisheye.
Wow.
All good. So he's got it at this price for the whole kit. So I said, well, you know, would you consider splitting it? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, well, what's the price? Give me a decent price and I'll consider it. So I said, well, look, you know, to me, this is reasonable. Yeah. And I gave him that wasn't a low ball price, but it was, the low end of where I wanted to pay.
Yep.
And he said he had less than 3,000 shots on it and it was in mint condition.
Yeah. So right. I'm thinking,
That's a 3,000, that could be a week for me, you know?
Yeah.
So effectively is new.
Yeah.
So I said, yeah, no problem, I'll take it for that. And so I went out and picked it up and absolutely stonking mint condition.
Yeah.
I mean, not even a skerrick of a mark on it.
Yeah, right.
And
you have to travel far?
Sorry? It was about an hour and three-quarter drive each way.
Okay.
So it was a fair bit of touch up the wife.
Still, for that kind of bargain, that's a small price to pay.
Yeah, I took the wife's company car, so the petrol was free.
Nice.
And I took the kids out. We went to a lovely park and then went to a bakery, and they had a nice day out as well. So it was kind of good, yeah. Spare battery included, because that's another $100 value.
Yeah.
Right? I do a test shot.
Yeah.
It's on a photo 1,019 was the shot I took. So he's ended 1,000 shots, even 3,000.
Oh, wow.
So that's a good deal. And so he's happy because he's managed to sell it at a price that he was reasonably happy with.
Yep.
I'm happy I bought, I saved $1,000 off retail.
So you just left him with the lenses?
Yeah, I had no interest in that. I can't use the lenses. I'm not allowed to use the lenses.
No.
You know? And he's put them online now for sale. And if he gets the full price of both of them, he's going to get more than the kit price he was asking for anyway.
Yeah, right.
So it's a win-win-win, effectively. And there's probably more chance of people buying those lenses individually.
Yes.
Because it's a pretty unusual outfit to buy, an 8 to 15 and 100 to 400.
I was going to say, what football photos was he planning on taking with a fisheye? Is that the whole field from the sideline?
No idea. Well, you know, if you get to the top of like a sports stadium, you've got this massive, I don't think his kid's playing that kind of football. So a couple of things announced this week, our dates for our Cuba tour in March next year.
Right.
Announced. So if anyone wants to come to Cuba with us, 18 to 30 of March next year.
Yep.
Is our Cuba dates. And here's a great thing. American Airlines now fly direct from Los Angeles to Cuba.
Nice.
So it's a hop to LA and a hop to Cuba. Yeah, it's 14 hours to LA and 8 hours to Cuba. So 22 hours of traveling.
Yep.
Plus a little layover. But no, it used to be a two-day trip. Each way.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you'd have to stop off somewhere in Mexico or Santiago or some.
Yeah, right.
Off over. So it's a, and And I'm imagining because it's major airlines now, it's probably going to be a little bit cheaper price than airfares. We're still just nubbling that. We're doing an early expressions of interest, getting people to put their information, get their names down so they can be the first people to refuse or accept when it's actually announced. And we'll get the actual full pricing of that when we get back from India and Vietnam.
Yeah, nice.
But fabulous. If anyone's thinking of going, get in now because in 3 years' time it'll be completely ruined.
Yep.
It'll be Miami. Yeah, if you've ever or Miami Vice, which could be even worse. And then lastly, I've just been prepping this week for my body painting shoot I'm doing on Monday night. So I've got my Leap of Faith workshop.
Oh, yes.
So I'm a bit of a control freak. Here's the weird thing. I've got almost no control over what the model's going to look like. Because my time is tight, I've given the two body painters who are some world-class body painters, complete artistic freedom.
Right.
To come up with anything as a crazy, wild idea that they've always wanted to do.
Are you getting two models?
No, one model, two painters.
Right.
Well,
wow.
I approached my normal painter to do the shoot, and she wasn't going to be available that week because she's going to be over interstate. So she's gone to her friend, who's equally good. So I nailed that with her. Then this other woman's interstate event was cancelled, so she's hanging around, so they're both going to paint.
Oh, wow.
So,
at least they get through it quicker.
That's their hope. And I've got this fabulous model who does this amazing stuff with hula hoops, which is no good for what I want to shoot, but her flexibility is astounding. So, her ability to do like a bit of illusional movement is really kind of interesting. So,
nice.
So that's going to be good. So all I know is they've got two sets of wings and something to do with paint.
Right.
So, kind of makes it interesting.
Oh, well, it'd be interesting to see what comes out of it.
It's interesting for me too. It's a bit of excitement for me because I've got just today I finalised with my Indian group in Varanasi for our photo walk with these local Varanasi photographers.
Yeah.
It's looking like somewhere between 40 and 60 photographers.
Whoa.
2 hour 14. We're going to have this
plus your group,
cultural get together.
Wow.
And go for this big photo walk, which is going to be quite astounding.
Yeah.
So we definitely have to get a group shot of that. I reckon it's going to be one of the highlights of the trip. Just get all these people just laughed at fun to have this swarm of photographers coming down through Varanasi. It's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, nice.
Complete cluster. But it's only a couple of hours out of 19 days. I think we'll be okay.
Wow.
One last thing. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to vet models for my New York event, of which there's a place available, I might add.
How many places?
Into May 7 and 8 in New York.
Yeah.
I've still got one place available. But I put a call out in Model Mayhem.
Yep.
And I think I've got 370 responses so far.
Whoa.
I've got to go through all this bloody backlog of people wanting to.
Wow.
It's like.
Wow.
It's the biggest turnout I've ever had, which kind of makes sense, I guess, looking at the city, but oh my word. Yeah. You know?
God, wow.
Funny stuff.
If you haven't already cottoned on to this, what I tend to do with models I've not shot with before that I get approached through Model Mayhem is I look at their portfolio and I then reach out to the photographer and I go, hey, mate, just wondering, what was this model like to work with? Did she turn up on time? Was she problematic? Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
It's a good way to just get some background.
Good move.
Yeah. Of course, you probably don't want to send out 370 of those messages.
But if you're nutted down to the final couple, and then you can vet from there.
But it's worth it just, because there's nothing worse than finding a model and you like her look and you like the stuff she's shot, and then you find out that she's one of those that flakes or doesn't rock up on time and blah.
I know.
But so anyway.
It's a 2 day event. On the Saturday, I'm doing like a faux bridal shoot, so male and female.
Oh, yep.
The amount of actual real life couples that have applied is great.
Really?
So, you're not introducing each other on the day because the models are actors. Very tough to work. So,
and then trying to get them to look intimate.
Yeah. So actually getting real models is real couples.
Real couples. Nice.
Anyway, that's my week. What's been happening in your end of the world? Anything exciting?
Well, hang on. You haven't covered any of the things you put on your rundown.
Later, I thought we'd get through the stuff that's on.
Okay. Well, through the week, I've mentioned before my Facebook friend only. I've never met the guy, a photographer from Anchorage in Alaska, David Ryan Taylor.
Yeah.
He put a post.
I took my earphones out prematurely, so I can't hear you anything. You just waffle on for a minute
okay.
about what they're saying.
Yep.
So I want to go get something and come back and read it.
Oh, okay, no worries.
You talk, I'll be back.
All right. So I've mentioned David Taylor in the past, and through the week he put a status up on Facebook, which I thought was absolutely epic. This is what he wrote. "I'm almost finished, I think, writing an article about the ongoing debate within the photographic community over photographic manipulation. I figured I'd share an excerpt from a section that I actually had to cut due to it simply not working in the overall context and flow. Perhaps it'll make its way into a future article. Who knows? But I still think it should see the light of day. The real issue is that we've lost our way. We take photographs with an end result in mind, sharing. The sharing portion has trumped the experiential portion. Most cameras are able to transfer photos directly to our mobile phones, where we can Snapseed, Instagram, Lightroom Mobile, Visco the crap out of them, and share them with the tens of thousands of our closest and dearest friends. We're in such a hurry to hit share or post, so needing to make our own dent in the universe, that we forget to clean up the dust spots on our 50 megapixel sensors, compose a scene that avoids power lines, or gently move that branch out of the corner of our frame. We just can't wait to share our creations in all their infinite glory as a 1200 pixel wide photograph on a screen that is 1/1 trillionth the size of the actual scene. Meanwhile, while we slam away at the virtual keys of our mobile phones, repeatedly using words like epic, amazing, and most incredible to hammer home the perfection of our non-experience, while another incredibly beautiful experience passes by unnoticed, just 18 inches above our iPhone screens." Which I thought was just awesome.
What was it about? start again from your friend who, sorry?
Yeah, David Taylor from Anchorage.
So succinct it. What was his? So he's saying.
Well, you only missed the first two lines of the post, which I'll reread.
No, don't reread. But basically, is he saying that?
He's just saying that we're too caught up in the desire to share the image and not actually enjoying the experience of capturing the image and taking the time to shoot the image properly. Which I tend to agree with. I'm not saying everyone is guilty.
Obviously, we can't generalize because we'd be generalizing if we did that.
Yes, that's right.
We can't have that now, can we? Yeah.
No. But I thought it was on point.
I hate cliches like the plague.
I've noticed.
So basically, what he's saying you should keep on shooting and don't share until you get home.
What he's saying is,
get home, clean up, then share it.
Be a little bit more in the moment.
But how does he know they're not?
Well, I
understand. Okay, things like power lines.
Yep.
Not everyone sees that stuff. Yeah, they may be at a point of their development as
journey.
A photographer that they simply don't see the stuff that's wrong with the photo.
Yep.
They could be technologically inept enough to not even know what dust spots are.
Yep.
Doesn't mean they didn't have a great time, and this isn't 3 weeks later they decided to share the image.
Absolutely, there are always going to be exceptions.
Here's the thing, though: do we want to make a ranting post like this to some degree about the minority?
I don't know that it's the minority.
I don't think it's the majority. Let's take a vote.
Okay. One each.
I'm going to have 100 people at this. The Baronassi. I'll see what everyone's doing. they just put this post on Facebook of me doing a scene. Glenn Lavender comes to Varanasi. It's not a big post. My reputation precedes me. But you know, sort of, it's like, I don't know. To me, this article
is
almost doing exactly what he's bleating about. As in, there's a minority of people who do this thing, and he's now complaining about a minority of people.
Okay.
I just don't. I just, yeah, yes, there's things out there. And there's also the opposite. The people who spend ridiculous amounts of time posting, post-processing and doing all this sort of stuff to then put it up and, oh, this is what I saw, a la your Milky Way type photos.
You know? Yep.
I just have a problem with this whole thing about either post-processing or not. Is that what it was really like? Did you really enjoy it? All that kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so that brought back to me thinking this thing I was reading this week. I was reading this guy, probably never heard of him. His name's David Duchemin.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. No, I was flicking through one of his books the other day, and but his reason for writing the book was really good. I thought.
Right.
So I thought I'd read it to you. So
he needed to prop up his royalties.
Exactly. A couple of years ago, my friend Matt Brandon and I lectured at the Himalaya Club in New Delhi, India, funny enough.
Well, right.
I remember it more clearly than similar lectures I've given for two reasons. The first is Delhi was rocked by a series of bomb blasts. Well, I guess that'll do it.
And the second reason?
I remember it so clearly is the Q&A period afterwards that threatened, if briefly, to go dangerously off the tracks. The rogue question was twofold. One, do you do any post-processing to your images?
Mm-hmm.
Thing I get asked all the time, to which he answered yes. And then two, how do I know it really looked like that? And it went downhill from there. And finally got lost in a quagmire of ethical assertions with no authority to which anyone could appeal and settle things once and for all. The seeds of this book were conceived in that evening. So how do I really know it looked like that? Well, for what it's worth, I think this touches the heart of the matter, though I'd rephrase it slightly without changing a word of it. The answer is, of course, you don't. Simultaneously, the answer is, trust me. And in some ways, the answer is always, it didn't. We've grown up being fed the lie that the camera never lies. So if the camera never lies, our starting point for objectivity, that any manipulation of the negative can only introduce corruption into the process. But that's the problem, isn't it? The camera tells us any lie we ask it to, or any truth for that matter. It's a tool no more objective, really, than a microphone. Oh, hello. a tool no more, no less. We're beginning with a fallible, corrupted product. The moment you consciously choose one focal point over another, you change how the picture is taken, how it's perceived.
When you a la the real estate photo last week.
That's right. When you change the medium, you change the message always. Every setting we choose has an effect on the aesthetics of the image. If I choose an aperture of 1.2 to take advantage of a softer depth of field, am I not changing the so-called objective reality of the scene? Surely it didn't look that way, or did it? I'm nearsighted. I wear glasses. If I take my glasses off, I see my foreground sharp and the background's blurred. I see actually in 2.8 when I set my aperture to f22 and create an image with limited focus, that scene doesn't look that way to me at all, you know?
Yeah.
The same is true of shutter speeds and the ability to imply time's passage. I've never seen a waterfall with sharply frozen water. What about cropping? Do you look at the world through a cardboard box limiting your field of view? The moment we include certain things, we exclude others. But by its very nature, photography is subjective, a tool. How do you know it looked like that? You don't. The best you can do is trust me to show you what it looked like to me. In fact, I'll go you one better. The very best you can hope for is that as a photographer, I get over my need to be completely objective and instead take the time to create a photograph that makes you see and feel the scene the way I saw it. Did it look like that? Well, it did to me. And if part of my process is to bring my image closer to my vision, is to use the post-capture tool rather than my camera, I think that's okay. It's hair-splitting to say that a magenta filter on a lens is okay while the same applied in post is not. Have painters ever dealt with this? Monet paints in permanent blur revision, and no one ever asks where he was painting that lilies look so blurry. Painters are free of the burden of this objectivity. Perhaps these are the birth pangs of our craft, a phase we need to go through to get to the good stuff, the expression of our vision through the voice of digital capture and the refinement in the digital darkroom. I'm aware that photography is also a tool of reportage, and this is the thing that gets to me, these people who say, I shoot what I see, I shoot reporter style, right? And the needs and ethics of the journalist are different than those of the artist. But if I can venture an opinion, I think that even then it's just a different line drawn on a different patch of sand. The best we have is a corrupt product, and that's why a photojournalist's integrity is as important, more important, than his other skills and assets. The camera will still lie. The moment that journalist decides to take sides or spin the story, his camera will fall in line. So why start off on this foot with all this philosophical navel-gazing? Because the question is important. Did it look like that? That's just another way of asking, how did it look? How did it feel? What are you trying to show me? This book is about using your voice to express your vision so you can answer those questions. Did it look like that? Did it feel like that? It did to me. And the deeper my forays into digital photography, I'm reading the whole book, by the way.
I gathered that.
It's an audio podcast. The more I am sure that there are three images that make the final photograph, the one you envision, the one you shoot, and the one you develop. The better you are at the last two, the closer you can come to the first. So once again, the one you envision, the one you shoot, and the one you develop. The better you are at the last two, the closer you can come to the first. This book is about the third image that goes into the final photograph, the one that is refined in the digital darkroom. In this case, it's specific digital darkroom, Adobe Photoshop, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, that's a book and lightroom. So the book is called Vision and Voice. Yeah.
Yep.
So the vision is how we see. The voice is how we express what we see. And that can be showing it with the 50 dots of dirt on the sensor. It can be about showing it with the power lines. It can be about it being documentary or artistically framed. It can be about anything you damn well want it to be.
Except a sloped horizon, because that's wrong.
Yeah, no, yeah, well, there's some inviolable truth, obviously, you know. We're generalizing again.
No, we're not. It's patently wrong.
Second, that people should stop doing that and spend more time in the moment. Well, you do that. If that's what makes you happy, yeah, Dave Taylor, you do that.
Fair enough.
And that makes you happy and good on it, and you're welcome to that. But going on about this big article about the ongoing debate, well, there should be a debate in the first place. Do what damn well makes you happy. Don't try and make other people do what makes you happy.
Okay. That's fair.
Here endeth
the Glyn Sermon.
The Sermon on the Mount Ridiculous. But, you know, it just gets to me, especially people who should know better. Are actual proper photographers.
Right.
Because, yeah, we've all come through the journey. We all did the power lines. We all did the hairs on negatives. We all did the spots of dust in there because we didn't clean our enlarger properly before we did it. We've all done this stuff. Just that these people choose to share it. Yeah. I read this cool thing today about a diary used to be a thing we wrote all our personal thoughts in and got really upset if someone read it. And now we put all our personal things on Facebook. You feel upset when no one reads it, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of a little bit that way. You know? It's the same thing. You know, we've all done these things, and now we're upset when we see other people doing it.
Okay.
Once again, as I like to say, I have an opinion on everything, and I'm more than happy to share it.
Yes.
So what I'm trying to say here, just to finalize it, everything I just said doesn't mean anything either. It's just an opinion, but it's just as valid as his opinion. If what I say doesn't gel, don't give it a second thought. If what he says doesn't, if you're perfectly happy with the way you do things, great. Just don't listen to all the crud that's out there. There's so much crud telling people what they should and shouldn't do. You know, the presentation I did on the weekend for the club, I go through a slide on no rules. You know, forget these.
Right.
Because camera clubs especially are so blazingly like tied down with rules. And then this 65 at the end of the presentation, this 65-year-old bloke walks up to me. He goes, and he might have been old, he might have been 75. He walks up, goes, "Can I give you a hug?" I'm going, "Yeah, but yeah, don't get no grabbing." Yeah. Yeah. Gives me a hug and he goes, "Someone's finally bloody said it." Yeah, but she goes, "I refuse to enter competitions because of all the bloody rules."
Yeah, right.
It's the same thing. I mean, the person judging the photos has so blinkered a viewpoint about what a photo should and shouldn't be.
Yeah.
How can they judge your art?
Yeah.
Because they're judging what they would do, not what you did.
Yeah.
The judging process is so corrupt to the point that, as I said, they can only ever judge what they would have done in that situation, I feel. They're so-called objective judge. And you can get, the AIPP awards are so much better because we have four or five people. Yeah, but half of those people know the people whose photo they're judging.
Yeah.
Already there's an emotional bias. But then you're biased towards subject matter. You're biased towards tool used or whether you like or don't like black and white. Yeah, there's so many biases that nothing's impartial. It's just an opinion. And if you rely, and this goes the same for posting stuff on the internet. And so if someone says amazing, awesome, those things he said, unfortunately, if you fall into that trap, what are you going to do? You're going to keep on going and replicating the same stuff that elicited those reactions from the same people. They're going to stagnate in your photography because all you have to do is the same thing over. We weren't expecting that one to go so long, were we?
No. And now David will never let me quote any of his stuff ever again.
He doesn't listen though, does he?
I don't know.
He
might.
G'day, Dave. How are you, mate? Love your work. No, it's amazing and epic. Possibly the most incredible.
Now, you and I both picked up on the new Sigma 50-100 f1.8.
We did.
Which is a pretty sweet-looking piece of kit. Hey?
Quite remarkable stuff.
Yeah. What I did think was hilarious was their complete and utter failure with keyword tags on their post.
Oh, really?
But after your previous 5-minute rant, I don't think I'll go there.
Why? In case you might set me off again? Or just
exactly. So, but anyway, that is a pretty amazing looking lens.
It is, absolutely.
So 50 to 100 f1.8, designed for APS-C sensors. So that's sort of like a 75 to 150 on a 35mm.
Back at one of my favourite lenses I've ever used in my life of photography was my old Olympus 70 to 150.
Yeah, right.
It fixed f4, I think, from memory. Oh, man. It was such a sweet little lens. It was just.
And what made you like that lens? Because f4 is not particularly wide.
Yeah, but I'm not into that sort of stuff. I'm not about the wide. I'm about the quality. Awesome quality.
Okay.
It was a great build. It was small size.
Yep.
I mean, given the choice of a Canon 70-200 2.8 and a Canon 70-200 f4, I'll take the Canon 70-200 f4 every day of the week.
Because it's lighter.
It's half the price. It's half the weight. It's half the size. It's sharper.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's not half the price and sharper. Hello.
Yeah.
But it doesn't. That's 2.8. Who cares?
Yeah. It's like my Minolta 135 2.8 Prime. I love that thing.
And how old is that? 30 years old?
Oh, 35 years old.
Sweet lens, yeah.
Oh, it's a beautiful lens.
The tool is important. It doesn't go to this new Tamron lens we're going to talk about at some point, the new 85mm. The amount of people bleating on the internet because it doesn't go down to 1.4, it only goes down to 1.8. Aren't they? Really, people?
Really, a third of a stop?
All these people, these are the typical bloody internet commentators of all stuff. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, I really wish it had gone to 1.4, blah, blah, blah. Because then I might even have considered possibly even remotely one day possibly thinking about almost going near buying it.
Yeah.
All these negative, disparaging comments. And then never in the wide world of sports would have bought the damn thing anyway. Whether it was 1.4, 1.8, 0.09. Yeah. And even then, if it had been 1.4, oh, man. And if the image quality was up there.
You know what? If it had been f1.4, they'd have bitched that it wasn't f1.2.
And they'd bitched, look how big it is.
Yeah. It's
good. The 1.4, you know. With VC built into it, vibration, yeah. But they still wouldn't buy it because they weren't buying it in the first place, but they want to put their 2 cents on the internet saying, look. And the typical proof is every time there's a new camera released, like on DP Review or DP View, whichever you prefer.
Yeah.
There's this thing like, would you buy it? Would you want to own it? Or have you owned it?
Yep.
And there's always like 6% of people have said they've owned it. And
right.
It's been announced that day.
Yeah.
It's not like a shelf yet. And they've owned it. And they've got a comment on it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I've seen that and I've wondered whether or not they're people who had access to beta models.
No, they're idiots.
Okay. Right. Not that we're generalising.
I polled the internet. Are you or are you not said idiot? And they'll come, oh, you're an idiot. Done. Yeah, 98% of them, all idiots.
Excellent.
You're beta testing these things? You're not jumping on a DP review. So, oh, I had that.
Well, you don't know.
Not 6% of them.
Okay.
Trust me, I ain't having them.
Right.
So, anyway. So
we'll move on. We had a couple of things from Reg Vardy this week.
First one we talked about 20 episodes ago.
Yes, and that's what I thought when he posted it.
And if we look at the actual articles from February 2015,
Yes,
but
that's right. Which was probably when we covered it.
So, Reg, that light panel, this artificial panel that looks like daylight, is stonkingly good. God knows how much the things are, but I love it to pieces.
Have you seen something about it other than this blog post?
No,
right.
That's the only time I've seen it out there.
If it behaves the way it appears to behave in the blog post, it's pretty epic.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, it's a sweet thing. Imagine that, and you could have a natural light studio in a garage with no windows. Well, it currently costs £40,000 to buy and £5,000 to install.
Oy, oy, oy.
So, you know, we're talking, yeah, 100 Gs, Australian.
So if you live in the Arctic Circle where you only get 6 months of daylight, this could be a good investment.
But Reg, spot on, dude. It shows you an incredibly intelligent and fascinating man, because you picked something I picked out, and that just reflects good on me.
The next one that he had was the Tamron
F1.8. Picked on something I picked out. It shows what a fascinating and interesting chap this guy is. He's picking out two things that I've picked out. So fabulous.
So two lenses from Tamron, 85mm and 90mm macro, both with vibration compensation.
I must say I was surprised at the 90mm coming out.
Why? Because it's so close to the 85?
But no, because they're different things. They do different jobs. But it's been about 2.5 years since they released the last version.
Oh, okay.
And previously before that, it was like 10 years before they released the existing one went forever, and it's a classic in its field, because that's where you do macro stuff in fields. Yeah, bees and flowers and stuff.
Yeah.
So to have a replacement so soon. Now, I know why they're doing it. I didn't realize until just this very second.
Right.
I can see what they're doing. Right. And within a very short period of time, I would find every lens they've got will be replaced by this style.
A VC version?
Well, not in some, even the ones that already have VC, because to me, the previous 90mm had VC.
Oh, okay.
So there's nothing different there.
So what is it that they're doing then?
Firmware upgradable.
Oh. Why do you need firmware in a lens?
Like, you want a firmware because you want to be able to upgrade it, of course. Why wouldn't you?
But what software is in a lens?
A classic example is with the Fuji lenses and the Fuji cameras. They had diabolical problems when they first came out, the Fuji lenses, being incredibly slow focusing.
Right.
And over the journey, they've updated both the firmware on the cameras and also the firmware on the lenses to work better with each other, and now they're significantly better.
Wow. I didn't realize there was software in the lens.
Absolutely. And so you can get this little adapter that for the Tamron as well, which is it's like a little mat you're mounted in, but you can do things. You can control how the vibration control works with it.
Yeah.
You can control its micro focus points, where it's going to focus, where it doesn't focus, if it's back focusing. You know, so you can take more control over the lens and tune it for your camera combination.
Wow.
Tune it to if there's any problems. And, of course, if they come out with because they're making these things for Sony's too, so if Sony came out with a new focus system for their phase detect, whatever it may be, they may be able to find a way of tweaking the lens once again so it works better with that type of system.
Yeah, right.
So I see them changing over. Plus, this is a new, stronger body. It's a sleeker. I'd imagine they're trying to keep everything looking the same, this really the high-end sleek look.
Yeah,
compete with Sigma with their art series,
right?
So, yeah, I can see why they've replaced the 90 so quickly, because they're putting it in line with the same visual style as the others. It's firmware upgradable. It's going to have all this stuff they'd be able to do to it to control the lens, or the lens's software. So
yeah, right.
I still think maybe they could have been a little bit more adventurous with the kind of lens they came out with, because as you say, 85 and 90 is going to. They did the same. They brought the 35 and 45 out at the same time, and that kind of opened it all. You know, there's not that much difference. What there is 20-odd%.
Yeah.
In this, obviously, a macro lens is a completely different thing than a portrait lens.
Yeah.
As far as
and I didn't get around to mentioning the 85 is an f1.8 and the 90mm macro is f2.8.
Is that because I jumped in and interrupted and talked all over the top of you?
Something like that.
Just checking.
And the last story from Reg was the cameras that captured the winning shots in the World Press Photo Comp 2016. And the big winner, with 15 images out of however many images were in the whole thing, the Canon EOS 5D Mark III.
Woohoo!
And the second biggest one was the EOS 1DX.
Yeah, just remind me again, who's the sponsor of that competition?
Is it Canon? Is it?
I don't know. But that was like the bit of stuff going around on the internet about who sponsors this. It could be Canon. I don't know.
Right. Well, so there were 45 images in it. And there were 15 with the 5D Mark III and 6 with the 1DX, so 21 out of 45 images.
The thing I would say that was probably more interesting to me, rather than because I don't really give a rat's pahootie about that, is that there's less variety of cameras included this year than last year.
Oh, okay.
Last year there was like an iPhone.
Yeah, right.
Award. There was like Fujis, there was Olympuses, there was Sonys. There was a bit more broad spectrum users getting awards.
Right.
Which
there were four images this year for which there was no metadata, so which is a bit odd. I mean, maybe they were film.
Yeah.
Because pretty much every digital camera's got metadata of some description. So maybe the four that had no data were shot on film.
Yeah.
But anyway, there we go. So that was it from Reg. David Kembry said, "Hi, Bruce and Glyn. You mentioned about the Pentax K1 in camera shake reduction. Not sure if the Sonys that Bruce mentioned have 5-axis sensor stabilization. And I did reply to him on Facebook and went, yeah, absolutely, because I think my A850, it's either 2 or maybe 3-axis. Yeah.
This one shifts in time. if your photo is blurry, because the person moved, it lets you go back in time, tell the person, don't move, I'm about to take your photo, and then you take the photo. It's pretty clever stuff.
Very clever. And the other one that David Kembry sent us was, who pays photographers and how much?
Usually the accounts department.
Yes.
And usually, well, hopefully what you
not
build.
Very much. So this was there's a site called Who Pays Photographers? And basically it allows photographers with complete anonymity to submit details of jobs they've done and to state who it was that paid them and how much they got paid and what was required in the gig. And
disgraceful.
Yeah, the amounts paid are pretty paltry.
But it's just absolutely disgusting. What? I mean, well, once again, if you look at this, oh, such and such only got paid such and such for this gig, well, maybe that's all they were worth.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If they go and employ such and such else, well, that person might be worth a hell of a lot more. Oh, I got, they got $200 for a festival coverage, and they got all credits and my expenses weren't even covered. Well, A, no one says you have to take the job, so don't bleat about
that's
the price.
That's right. Yep.
And
you agreed to that price.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, and what's it trying to prove by putting out there? So you go to apply for a job, a shoot, or so a company approaches you. Oh, we want you to do a shoot, and we want you to give you this much money for it. Oh, but on Who Pays Photographers, you paid such and such X amount.
Yeah,
and?
That's not going to win you any friends.
Yeah. This is what we're offering you. This is the job you want it, because there's lots of.
If you don't, there's plenty of others.
Exactly. And it's not. No, and it could be. Well, yeah, maybe that's all they were paid, but maybe there was other reasons for that. And there's so many variables again. It's like, come on. I just don't see how it can be a gain for photography. How working photographers can get out something out of that that's not going to make them feel bitter, you know?
Yeah.
So anytime someone asks me how much do I charge to do a portrait, I tell them the price and shut up. They either take the price or they go somewhere.
Or they don't. Yeah.
That's how you do business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Carl Hemmings sent us a link to an article on Petapixel. This is what the crowd of photographers looks like during Firefall in Yosemite. Now, for those who don't know Firefall, last couple of weeks of February every year, the sun sets at just a particular angle where the sunlight comes through a crevice and it lights up a waterfall, and it makes this waterfall glow bright orange like it's lava pouring out of the mountain. It looks amazing. But this is the first time I've ever seen a picture of all the photographers camped on this hillside waiting for the sun to get in the right position, and it's quite hilarious.
Fire postcard, people.
Yeah. Really? Yeah, or look at somebody else's photo.
Really? You want to sit there and take the same photo 500 other people have taken? Exactly the same?
Absolutely not.
There's a creative vision for you straight away, isn't it?
Yeah.
Crazy people. Yeah.
Yep.
I don't get it.
No. Rob Coates wrote to us regarding the story last week about the glass disc that hold storage of your data for 13 billion years and change. Read the glass disc that is claimed to store images for 13.8 billion years. The figure rang a bell with me. and a check with the infallible Wikipedia shows that it's the currently accepted age of the universe. So the manufacturer either has a sense of humour or is perhaps a fan of the Big Bang Theory TV show, possibly even both. Regards, Rob. P.S. Thanks for taking my good-natured jibery photo books in the right spirit, Glenn.
What sort of jibe about photo books?
Yes, he was going to write a book about taking landscape photos for people who've got no idea or something. I don't remember the exact wording. Anyway.
That was 2 weeks ago. Did we record last week?
Whenever it was, whenever the last episode was. I'm pretty sure it was last week.
Very vague, man. I'm not very intelligent.
Right. A couple of links
just,
from
just
Steve
one thing,
Peters.
Just one little thing about Rob Coates.
Yep.
Because he writes there, check with the infallible Wikipedia.
Wikipedia
is actually more accurate than the Encyclopedia Britannica.
See, I believe that, but I keep on getting shouted down by both Kath and Max.
Well, tell Kath and Max to just keep it down.
I reckon Wikipedia is very reliable.
Yeah, but it's not a matter. You've got to look at it as on a macro, not a micro level.
Right.
Okay, so as a whole, Wikipedia...
It's constantly being peer-reviewed.
Yeah,
That's my point.
Wikipedia is eminently more accurate than either, any other encyclopedic volumes out there. But on an individual case scenario, there may be inconsistencies.
Sure.
But as a whole, is by far the most accurate. Yeah.
Absolutely. See, my thinking is that even when there are, you know, slight errors in the content on Wikipedia, it's likely to get picked up and revised pretty quickly.
Absolutely.
So the errors won't remain in circulation for very long, whereas a printed encyclopedia could sit in your library for 100 years.
Exactly. And try to
with
find
the wrong
it.
Information.
You can't search it.
No, that's right. Steve Peters sent us a link about hack your reflector by cutting a hole in the middle.
Yes.
And he posted this on the Facebook wall and said, somehow I imagine Glenn Lavender has already done this.
Yep. Because it's a clever, even if you're just doing it against it, but you can go and buy these things now with holes in the middle to put your camera through, which kind of looks mad.
It's almost like a very cheap version of a beauty dish. In a way, or more like a ring light.
You know,
more like a ring light.
Like what they're showing in this shot, you can just simply get someone with a window behind them.
Yep.
And shoot through this thing with the light, and you'll blow the background out, and you've got this nice light in the face, and away you go.
Yeah.
It's a great little light source.
Very clever. Yeah. And the thing is, you could do that to your reflector and still use your reflector in its normal convention, even with the little.
It's not gonna make
70mm hole in the middle.
Make a difference to your reflector.
No.
15 seconds possibly, but that's it.
Very cool. And the other one was also from Petapixel. This is from Steve Peters as well. And this was about the photographer who's being harassed after he called out Harry, whatever his name is, Styles from the boy band One Direction, because Harry Styles took this guy's photograph and put it on his Instagram and got, 16 squillion hits on it. And when this photographer called Styles out for, not giving him accreditation, all of the One Direction fans jumped on this photographer and went, hey, he's brought attention to your photos.
So yeah.
Both sides,
yeah.
Bit of balance on both sides there, I think. But anyway, interesting. What else did I have? Adam sent us the DIY photography story about the shipwreck in California, which the SS Point Reyes, and someone went down, did the old, set the steel wool on fire and swing it around your head kind of thing, where you get those lovely shower of sparks and you do anything from sort of 3 seconds to 10 seconds and you get these lovely long spark trails.
Yeah.
But they did it right beside this old shipwreck, and in the process of doing so, a wooden shipwreck, yes, managed to catch this thing on fire, and it then took, the fire brigade, all night to put the fire out, and it's destroyed this shipwreck, which apparently has been on this bay for, time in memoriam. So everyone's a bit cranky about the photographers, being, more concerned about, getting a good image on their Instagram feed than actually preserving a local landmark.
Yeah.
So,
just be sensible.
Yeah, absolutely.
Common sense. But at the same time, things change.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's it for me.
But the guy did try and claim that he was just happened to be walking past with a camera.
Yeah, I'm not buying that.
And saw these guys spinning sparks. So he thought he'd take a photo. Yeah. I mean, you spin sparks without a camera just for fun of it, aren't you, of course?
Yeah. No. No, yeah. No one does that.
Just to
let and the guy who's just happened to be walking by just happened to have a tripod as well. Exactly. Get out.
A peer review comparison between Wikipedia and Encyclopedia Britannica, where scientists studied 42 major articles, both found them to be exactly the same amount of errors.
Right.
So they found both Britannica and it to be, they both had five serious errors, not necessarily the same ones, but five serious yep. errors, and therefore they're as exactly as reliable.
There you go.
So.
Yeah. No, I'm a big fan of Wikipedia.
Yeah.
And each year when they do their little drive, I give them $50.
I reckon Google's the best encyclopedia.
Yeah.
You just type in Google what you want to know, it's there.
Yeah.
In fact, even better, it's Star Siri. She's really smart. Hey, Siri, what's the weather going to be like tomorrow? She tells you.
Yeah.
It's like having another wife. She tells you all the time exactly what she thinks. God, I got myself a problem with the missus this week, though.
Oh, really?
It's a little bit. The planning.
What did you do?
Trying to plan the dates for Cuba.
Yeah.
She hit, and we were married in March, and I'm away for this anniversary.
Oh, no.
So I'm in India. And so I wanted next year to plan the dates post then. But yeah. My first marriage, I got married in March, and my second marriage, I got married in March, like 5 days apart, different year. Yeah. Different years, just to clarify.
I would hope they were different years.
And I can never remember which one's which.
Like, oh, no.
You know what it is. You should always go, I don't know which one it is. I think of this one, therefore it must be the other one. It's what you should always do, right? I didn't. I think it's this one, and I went for that one, and it was, of course, the other wife.
Whoops.
Yep. Really, I've got to get those dates engraved inside the wedding ring. One of these days.
Dude, put a reminder in your phone and set it to remind you every year.
No, all I do is, like, the beginning of March, every, like, the first day I buy a present, shove it under the bed. Wake up in the morning, she goes, happy anniversary. Yes, it is. Here's your present. It's
simple.
Well, that's it, my friend.
That is it. Well, so how long are you in India? 3 weeks?
Now, who's next week's host?
Oh, no one. No one has put up their hand. Nobody. Nobody wants to be on with me. I'm feeling unloved.
Don't blame you. See, when am I back? It's February, March 16th. I arrived back on Good Friday. Oh, no, Good Saturday.
Right.
Easter Saturday. So the next recording date will probably be the 31st of
March. Thursday after Easter, right.
So we've got 31st and 7th of March, and then I'm away again.
Right.
And then I'm back for like a week, and then I'm away again for three more.
Wow.
I'll get three episodes in like the next 8 or 9.
Yeah. All right. Well, you have a great trip to India.
Do everything I can.
And say good day to Malcolm for us.
Who?
Yep.
Of him.
And we look forward to seeing the images on Facebook.
Well, yeah, look. So
and Instagram and Snapseed and everything else that you're doing as you.
Those who are remotely interested, where possible, when I have the time and energy, I'll be blogging at least every couple of days.
Excellent.
On my website. So there'll be a little bit of anecdotal stories, some images.
Yeah.
So if you want to follow along, please do.
And beautiful. On which blog? On the CPW site?
Yeah, so I'll post it on Facebook and saying that I've updated the blog.
Yeah, right. So that you put the link to the blog on Facebook.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, awesome.
I'll miss you all.
Yep.
Really? I'll be too busy having fun. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, have a good time, matey.
I will.
And we'll talk to you at the end of March.
No worries, guys. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Shutterzing, another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out ShutterZinkPodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@ShutterZinkPodcast.com.